Now.
Oh, yeah, there we are.
Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar passage, I'm also going to read a couple other passages to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you would well know it as what's called the love chapter. And we're going to be talking about love today. In fact, as we enter a new year coming up in just a couple of days, the year 2020, can you imagine it's really 2020? Do you remember when it was like 19-something? 2020. One of the things that I really enjoyed growing up and up until probably about 10 years ago, when I would go to a doctor's appointment, whatever, they'd have me look at the eye chart that was on the wall. And they'd say, can you read this eye chart? Close one eye and read the top line, the next line. I'd read all the way down to the bottom and then copyright 1963 or whatever. And they're going like, wow, you know, your eyes are really good. Now I'm using glasses to read, but 20/20 vision means you can see the best an eye can see, right? 2020, I often thought about that year coming up, 2020. What do we need to see as a church body in the year 2020? And I believe that God has laid this on my heart, that we as a church body, specifically starting with me, in my own personal life, and with all of us in our personal lives, we need to love like Christ loves. We need to love like God loves us. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, that you have that kind of love for one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we've loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John 13. You know, John, he should have written a book, right? John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, we think about how in the world could we affect and touch and reach the people of this community? Would it be by knocking on every door? Would it be by having a big crusade? Would it be by doing all kinds of acts of service? Or would it be by being the love of Christ for every person in this community? The love of Christ modeled through each one of us. We have to determine, are we willing to do that? Because to love like Jesus loves means we've got to die to ourselves. You know, that's a tough thing, isn't it? Because we all want what we want. But the Scripture tells us that we are to die to ourselves so that we can be alive in Him. With that in mind, I want to take a look at what this kind of love really means. And in fact, a while ago when we were greeting each other, I suspect that many of you told people that you love them and maybe even why you love them. But let me just tell you something about the kind of love that God talks about that we are to have for one another. It's not a brotherly love, although that's a good thing to have. It's not a physical kind of love. It is an unconditional love. The word agape means I just love you, period. No matter if you're good or bad, no matter if you treat me right, if you treat me wrong, no matter what, I just love you. I'm committed to loving you. I will never stop loving you. That's the kind of love that God has asked us and commanded us to have for one another. So we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. As Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, "Love is patient, and love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Father, I come to you this morning, and I just ask you, for me and for every person that is listening to this today, I pray, Father, that they will hear your Holy Spirit. I pray that I will hear your Holy Spirit speaking directly to my heart. And then, Lord, I pray that what I will hear will not only take resonance in me, but it will do a good work in me as well. Because it is you who chooses to work in us. We are your children. We have been called to be children of the light. We have called to be disciples of Christ. This is how people will know. It's by the love that we have for one another. Father, help us to love like you love us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going back through this study. I've done it a number of times in the past in different situations, but each time I go through it, it just becomes more and more resonating to my life of what kind of person we are to be is a person of love. People are going to see Christ by your love. Period. They are. They're not going to see Christ by you acting religious, because there's a lot of religious people in this world that don't show us Christ. They're not going to see Christ by you claiming that you are very faithful in doing what you're supposed to do in God's house. No. They're going to see Christ through our love. And I wonder what kind of love we've given. Is it conditional love? Is it love that this world calls love? Or is it God's kind of love? I just love you, period. And nothing can stop me from that kind of love. Nothing can stop me. I'm going through, we mentioned, or Wayne mentioned in Sunday school this morning, an opportunity that all of us have is to go and look up Bible.com, and there are some, even YouVersion has them, devotionals, things that you can do on a regular basis. And I'm in the process of going through one right now that I absolutely love. And it's about love. And I was reading through it today, and I was just... Or actually a couple of days ago, and I wanted to read this portion of it to you this morning just because it's the way that we need to look at what this kind of love is. And in fact, in John chapter 21, I'll just read this to you, verses 15 through 17, it says this: "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than the rest of these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' And he said, 'Feed my sheep.' And again he said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' And he answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Interesting that Jesus asked him three times if he loved him, because he had denied him three times. He wanted Peter to take account of what was really on the inside. Just like God wants us to take account of what's really on the inside of us when it comes to true love. And I just want to read this little section here, then we'll get into the study. Love is the answer. Love wins all the time. Love is the answer to an addict. Love is the answer to fractured relationships. Love is the answer to being offended. Love is the answer to heartbreak. Love is a weapon that can shatter division and rebuild what has been broken. What's happening in your life right now that tests you in the way that you love? Did you just discover your spouse had been cheating? Do you want to reconnect with a daughter you haven't spoken to in months? Does your son just tell you that his girlfriend is pregnant? Is your teenager suffering from an addiction that's overwhelming? Not just his life, but every single person in your family? Has your adult daughter declared she's a lesbian and she's done with the whole God business? People are going through tragedies and struggles all the time. There's different dynamics and complexities that characterize each of these kinds of situations, but they are real and they are hard and they hurt. I wonder what would happen if we decided with God's help and in His strength that we are going to love like we've never been hurt. Instead of withholding affection and staying bitter or seeking revenge, we just love. Just like God loves us. What if God loved you according to what you did? Not good, right? You know why God, how God loves us? He loves us as if we'd never done anything wrong, ever. Because of the blood of Jesus. He just absolutely is so in love with you. And yet most people feel like God couldn't love me. He couldn't love me like that. But God can, and He does. God loves you. And so Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth, and by the way, the believers at Corinth were very young in their relationship with God. He just lays it out for them in such a way so that they can understand the kind of love that he's really talking about. He says, let me give you a couple of things that love is. One of them is patient. Now, I don't know about you, but patience is not like on the top of the list in my understanding and being. I tend to not be so patient because I like things when I want them, right? I like things to happen when I want them to happen. And waiting on God is not always fun, right? I mean, think about this. You remember David as a young shepherd boy. He'd already faced Goliath. He had already been anointed by Samuel to be the next king. And so what does David do? Does he stand up and say, okay, I've been anointed to be king. Now I should be king. Saul needs to get out of here. No. Instead, he goes to work for Saul as an armor bearer. He works and sings in the palace. Until Saul becomes so jealous about David because all he hears about is David. So Saul becomes full of a bitterness and anger towards David, not loving him, instead hating him, picks up a spear and tries to nail him to the wall, and David says, I need to get out of here. And so not for a few months, not for a year, but for years and years and years and years and years, David, who should be king, hides in caves and lives in the wilderness to stay away from the mad king who wants to take his life. And yet God does a work in David's life. And in the midst of all that, David learns how to love even when he's been hurt. What would happen if we, as a body of believers, began to love people in this community as though we've never been hurt? We just love them, period. No matter what. No matter of history, no matter about what somebody has said about somebody, we just love them. What would happen? I have to believe that God's Word is true. And that if we begin to love like that, His love will pour through us into the lives of people all around us. It is patient. The Greek term is markothumio. Markos means very long, and thumos means something with passion or anger. We get the term long-tempered from this. Literally means to be long-tempered or long time to become angry. Now, you've seen people who have something that just continually nips at them and pulls at them and whatever else, and finally they snap, right? But then there's those who just continue to not be bothered by it. Just continue to be patient. I wish I was patient like that. Sometimes I get tired of stuff and I just snap. And I probably say things I shouldn't say. Probably do things I shouldn't do. But if I want to have the love of God, it's not going to be because somebody does something for me or against me. It's because I just love them like God loves them. When we look at each other in this room, do we just love each other, period? Not because they've been good or bad to us, not because they helped us out with the situation, or because they've stood far away from us, or we heard somebody said, somebody said, somebody said. Do we just love? Comes from this word, patient. This kind of love waits for an opening to do its good work. Is God at work in you? Well, Philippians 2:13 says God is at work in you to will and to do His good pleasure. What is His good pleasure? It's to love everyone. That's His good pleasure. He wants to love people through you. We are His ambassadors, right? I wonder if we are truly loving people like that. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is slow to anger. He's abounding in love, and He's forgiving sin and rebellion. Why? Because He loves us. See, if God didn't love you, as soon as you messed up, splat. Done. No chance. God's patient. God is so patient. Love is patient. Paul says love is patient. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, you'll notice this again. They refused to listen. They failed to remember the miracles that you performed among them. They became stiff-necked in their rebellion, appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God. You're gracious and compassionate. There it is again, slow to anger and abounding in what? Abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Did they deserve to be deserted? Yes. Do I deserve to be deserted? Yes. But God so loved me that He gave. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Wayne's favorite verse. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, He's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come into repentance. Why? Because He loves every single person. I cannot imagine a God that would look at someone and say, I don't love you. Of course He loves them. He so loved them that He gave His only Son. So Paul says love is patient. That comes from the inside. But then he goes on and say, love is kind. And this is the action of being that kind of person who has the patient kind of love. The Greek term is charistomotai. Charistos means useful or full of grace. Comes from the term charis, which means grace in Greek. It's the actual doing of love. It's not just saying I love you. It's loving you. We're fairly easy to say, I love you, sometimes, but not doing anything. We're fairly easy to do that with God. God, I love you. Okay? So what are you going to do about it? If you say that you love me, but then you go and do your own thing, is that love? He says this kind of love is an action. It's an actual doing something. Jesus didn't just talk about love. He modeled it everywhere He went to everyone He met. I wonder if we started to model that kind of love, what would happen? I don't really wonder. I know what would happen. Jesus would be lifted up and He would draw all men towards Him. Jesus continually met needs. You know what, folks? There's really, honestly, no better way to prove and show your love than to meet somebody's needs. You see, you can say, well, I'm really sorry about all the people that are walking around town that don't have a place to live or don't have food to eat or whatever else. We could really have empathy for them. But what are we doing about it? Well, we give money to Love, Inc. and let them take care of it. Oh, great. How about volunteering? How about taking boxes of food to people in the community? How about doing something? Not just saying, well, you know, I give my tithe and it goes towards things like that. Great, that's good. You should. We should. We should always give of what God has blessed us with. But folks, what are we doing about it? God didn't ask us to just have our name on a church roll so that we could feel good about who we are. God has asked us to be His ambassadors, His hands and His feet, to go in His stead and offer the gift of life to people all around us. That's the kind of love that God is asking us to have. It's patient and it's kind. Most people don't need to hear how much they are loved, but shown how much they are loved. Because it's easy to say, I love you, man. Easy to say. But somebody said a long time ago, actions do speak louder than words. Love is patient. Love is kind. Those are things that love is. And then Paul says, well, let's take a look at the things that love really is not. Although people have all these characteristics in their life, these are not characteristics of true love. He says it is not envious. It comes from the Greek term zelo or zeo, which means to boil. It's different from the term used of our jealous God. Okay? It's not saying jealousy because of the righteousness of God that He desires so much to have us. But this meaning suggests ill will or begrudging because of the supposed advantages of others. In other words, it's looking at something that somebody else has and wishing we had it. That's not love. It's not love. It's also translated in other places in Scripture as envy. See, being envious about something that somebody else has. Even in the Ten Commandments, it talks about not coveting something that someone else has. But what it's based on is believing that we deserve the love of God. Do you deserve the love of God? Do I deserve the love of God? No, what I deserve, according to Scripture, is to be separated from God forever because of my sin. That's what I deserve. Paul says we can't have the kind of love that acts like this. And there's some examples for you. Eve thought it was better to have a piece of fruit than peace with God. Cain thought that Abel must have been better, so he somehow didn't give a good enough offering to God. And so he desired to get God's attention, and he took the life of his brother. And Joseph's brothers saw Joseph in this coat that his father had given him, thinking that Joseph must be better than us, so instead we'll get rid of him. And Daniel, who simply did what God had told him to do and continued to pray even though that he was told not to pray. And he was thrown into a den of lions, who, by the way, became little kitty cats for him. Love is not envious. It goes on to say, and love does not boast. The Greek term here is perpetui. It means, it comes from the Greek root preparos, which means glory or bragging. Have you ever known somebody who walks around bragging all the time? Those are they're like on the top of your chart of favorite people, right? No. Literally, one who sounds his own praises. That's not love, folks. In fact, Proverbs 27, verse 2 says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. An outsider and not your own lips. Love does not boast. It's not envious. It doesn't boast. And it's not proud. The Greek term here is phusuotai. Phusua means bellows or puffed out, full of ourselves. You know what? If somebody's full of themselves, there can't be a place for Jesus. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, listen, folks, if you're walking around so full of yourself, it ought to be an obvious show to yourself that it's you and not him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 says, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they've seen, and they are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Paul is saying there's a lot of people who walk around with very religious clothes, very religious thoughts, very religious speech, very religious everything. But you remember that one time where the disciples asked Jesus about the two people that they saw praying? One of them was a Pharisee, and he was standing out on the corner, and in his loud voice, he was praying to God so that everyone could hear. And I'm so glad I'm not like that guy over there, that whimpering little guy over there. I'm very spiritual. And the little guy over there is saying, Lord, I deserve everything you would put upon me, because I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And the disciple says, which one of those are praying right? Who was praying right? Who one had the heart and the ears of God? The one who is confessing his sin. Not proud. Not full of themselves and puffed up. Love is full of humility, and it doesn't have to be constantly patted on the back. You see, because you just love, period. You don't love because somebody else loves you. You just love them, period. You don't love because they make you feel better, and they walk alongside of you and always put their arm around you and tell you what a great person you are. You just love them, period. Because everybody's not always going to treat you right. Amen? He goes on to say, love does not only, it's not envious, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it does not act unbecomingly. What does that mean? Eschemoneo means it has a different behavior. Love has a different kind of behavior. It means to stay. It means to remain. Skia means how we act. Meno means to remain in Him. You see, folks, we can act one of two ways. We can act on our own, or we can act in the mind of Christ. Connected with Him, walking with Him, listening to Him, fellowshipping with Him, communing with Him. We can act like us, or walk in Him. Door number one, door number two. Which door do you want? Literally means having a behavior that would want someone to remain or to stay. In other words, you treat people like they're welcome. No matter what they've done to you, no matter what they've said about you or done to somebody that you love, you just love them anyway. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have for each other. And for every person in this community and beyond, God wants us to love them because He loves them. Aren't you glad God doesn't love us according to who we are? He doesn't choose to love us because we're very special people that have been picked out, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you, but the rest of you can... No. God loves us. And Paul says that's the kind of love that we are to have for each other and for everyone. So it's not envious, and it's not boastful, and it's not proud, it's not unbecoming, and it's not selfish. Oh, folks, this hits us right where we live. The Greek term erythria means self-seeking or selfishness. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this, "Do nothing." Now, if you want to underline something in your Bible, that's a good thing to underline. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but to each of you to the interest of the other. What would happen if we began to love people in this community as though we'd never been hurt? As though it was God's love and not our love. What would happen? What do you think would happen? Do you think it would make a difference? I know, according to God's Word, it would make a difference. So when we look at this opportunity that God gives us in this new year, and I don't know if we'll have it all. I don't even know if we'll have the first day of it yet. But I do know this. If God gives us 2020, we need to have a vision to love people of Craig, Colorado like God loves them. As though we'd never been hurt. Just love them, period. Now, does that mean every single one of you will receive? Every single one of them would receive you? No. They might not receive your love. God didn't say love them if they'll receive it. God said, love them. Period. Just love on them. He goes on to say, it's also not easily provoked. The Greek term here is paroxuno. It means to become exasperated, irritated, touchy, or have a sharpness of spirit. Does that have your name by it? It did mine. I can become exasperated so easy or irritated. I can become touchy. Why? Because my focus is on me so much of the time rather than upon Him. But if I'm going to love like God loves, I'm going to have to move past that. Ask Christ to crucify that in my flesh. To not be quick-tempered. Like the oldest son in the parable of the prodigal son. He couldn't love his brother's return because of this. But the father loved him, period. He just loved him. You remember, the prodigal son's coming home. He's come up with the idea that, hey, even if I go back and just work for my father, at least I'll have food. I have a place to stay. I'll have clothes to wear. I'm just going to go back and not ask to be a son. I just want to be one of your servants. Is that what the father took him up on? No. As soon as he started spewing that stuff from his mouth, Father, I've sinned against you and against God. I don't deserve to be your son. I just want to be a servant. Please forgive me. The father was saying, no, my son was dead and now he's alive. We're going to have a party. You've come home. You're my son. You're my son. And I love you. And the Scripture says that he hugged him and he kissed him. He ran to him. It keeps no records of wrongs. Okay, folks, here we go. This is the hardest thing for any of us to do, is to love without keeping records of wrongs. Why? Because we've not loved with God's love. What if God kept records of wrongs? Well, He does, by the way. There's books in Revelation we'll get into. Starting back next week, we'll be back into the book of Revelation. There are some books that have everything we've ever done written down in them. And the Scripture says there will be a time of judgment. And you might say, well, man, I don't want that. Well, good, except Jesus Christ, it's washed away. Okay? We've been justified through Him and set apart. And forgiven, and sanctified, and justified. Justified, never sinned. But we're so, I don't know if I want to say so good or so bad, at keeping records of wrongs. And we tend to give out our love according to how people have treated us. Is that the truth? It really is. And each one of us can, we can know exactly when it happens. And the people, including us, that hold on to things that people have done to us and don't forgive those things, allow a root of bitterness to begin to grow in our life that will separate us from the close fellowship that we need with God to love like that. You might say, well, I know I'm supposed to love everybody, but there's a guy across the street from me. Man, there is just no way I can love him. Do you know what he did? He came over to my house one time and he bawled me out. And you know, he's always doing stuff to my stuff. And he's always, I can't love him like that. That's right, you can't, but he can. Through us can love him because he loves him. Period. He loves him. The Greek term is logiomai, the bookkeeping term that comes that means to count up and desire to settle or square an account. You know, folks, accounting is not that fun for me. I don't really like it. I can do it. Do I like it? No, I don't. But if I'm going to keep a correct ledger, I got to make sure that this equals this, and that it balances, balancing the books, you know, making sure that everything comes out right. But you know what? Keeping no records of wrongs means I am willing to let God keep score and not me. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to love them. Keeping score instead of washing the debt away completely. That's what it means. I'm going to keep score. I'm going to make sure that every time they bring something up, I can bring this back up to them. There's no forgiveness in that. And there's certainly no love in that. If somebody says ill against you, someone hurts you, harms you, love them anyway. Well, think about it, folks. There was no greater example of that than Jesus Himself. Can you imagine the King of all the universe, who'd never done anything wrong, being sentenced to death, yes, even death on the cross? And put to death for not doing anything wrong. And yet He who knew no sin became all sin for us so that we could be made right with Christ. God so loved us that He was willing to take on the form of a servant and come and live in the body of a human and be put down and spoken down to, ultimately to be spit upon and have his beard ripped out, to take lashes to the back that could lead to death, to be impaled upon a cross and to have people mock him. If you're really God, why don't you come down off that cross? Could he have done that? Oh, yes, he could have. Would he do that? No. Because his love was real love. When he stood up after the beating he took from that Roman soldier who'd lacerated his back and his sides and parts of his face in such a terrible, terrible manner, when he stood up and looked at that guard, he looked at him with the love of God. Can you imagine that? How's that possible? Because God loves everyone, period. Period. I just love you. I don't keep records of wrong. And then he finishes up this little statement with this phrase: love does not delight in doing evil. Adikai. It means not conforming to what is right. In other words, many people choose not to conform to what's right. Oh, those are like people who rob banks and take stuff from little kids and all that. No, it's people who don't conform to what is right. That means if you're going 57 and a 55, you're not conforming to what's right. Right? Oh, that's just everybody does that. Is it right or is it wrong? Oh, come on. You started meddling now. No, not conforming to what is right. Do not enjoy unrighteousness. Oh, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and watch this movie. I know it's got a lot of cursing in it and a lot of stuff that I probably shouldn't be watching. But the whole idea of the movie is kind of good. And I want to what are we going to do, folks? Are we going to delight in evil or delight in what is good? And even when our enemies are punished, we should mourn for them. Ooh, that's a big step. It's a big step. But let me just remind you this. The people in this world that do not know God are not our enemies. Satan is the enemy. Those people are the prize. We've got to start looking at the people of this community who don't know Jesus as the prize. They're not our enemies. They're not against us. They are the prize that God paid the ultimate sacrifice for, just like you were. We must desire to love as though we'd never been hurt. Love like God loves us. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for someone else. Folks, I'm just asking us to think about what would happen if this coming year, if God gives it to us and he allows us to live through it, he could come back today and that'd be all right. But for every day that God gives us in 2020, could we focus on how we could love like God loves? How would God love your neighbor? How would God love your mother-in-law? How would God love your co-workers? How would God love those people? Just like he loved you. Unconditionally. Period. I just love you. God wants to love us like that. And He wants us to love like that. Let's pray.